Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, also writer over at BourbonStreetShots.com, coming to you on this Wednesday. You know, hump day, you're getting into the final stretch of the week, and it's made all the better by the Pelicans beating the Memphis Grizzlies 95-82, a game that they kind of had in hand for a little while, and then Memphis made a run, and then the Pels answered whenever Memphis tried to get back into the game, and that's exactly what you want to see of this team, especially now that they are only 3.5 games back of Denver for the 8th seed, half game back of the Mavericks for the 10th seed. Those are one of the teams they need to jump ahead of to get in there and have a chance at this. So they've got to jump, you know, Portland and the Mavs and Denver. They're inching closer to every single one right now. This upcoming road trip going to Houston, then Denver, those are the two games that are really going to be the key to this. And we'll see, you know, what they can do and if they can do this. But last night, the game belonged to DeMarcus Cousins. I'm going to break it all down for you in this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Why he played so well, how he scored so many points, how historic was it for him in a Pelicans uniform, and what this means going forward for the team. So we got a lot to recap on this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Now, before I recap the game for you guys, don't forget Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever podcasts are found. Please give it a like on Facebook, follow it on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. All of this keeps it free. No one else is coming to you guys 5 days a week like this. So please do me a favor. Give it a follow on Facebook, give it a follow on Twitter, and subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts from. So the win against Memphis, again, 95-82, very, very odd game, though the Pels now have split the season series with them 2-2 against that team, and that's going to be a playoff team right there. So nice to see, especially because the two wins have come in the latter half of the year, the game right before the All-Star break, and then this one. Pels only put up 34 points in the first half, their lowest point total of the season in the first half, tied for it, actually. But then in the third, go on a 21-0 run and start to take a little bit of control. They scored 32 points in the third quarter while Memphis only scored 13. And from there on out, it was they just needed to keep pace with Memphis scoring when they were scoring. And never really relinquished that. And never needed to worry too much, though the game got a little close towards the end. But like I said in the open, they answered every single time. And this game was interesting for a lot of reasons. So the first thing you do is that I always look at is I go to the NBA.com/stats box score for it, and you can check the advanced stats. And I was curious to see what the pace of this game was because there weren't a ton of possessions, but it felt like the Pelicans were playing kind of fast. And when you go to look at the pace, it's actually less than what the Pelicans' season average is, much closer to Memphis in the slower, grinded-out style that they play. Not that there's a huge difference when it comes to number of possessions, but hey, it still matters. But it was closer towards the Memphis style. But then when you really think about it, you saw the Pels get out there and run at times. They really tried to score in transition, and it shows up. They scored 19 fast break points compared to just 7 for Memphis. So even though they were kind of playing a little bit at the pace of the Memphis Grizzlies, the Pelicans weren't waiting and grinding it out themselves. They were scoring when they could and taking those shots to try and score in transition, to try and get easy buckets. And they still try and do that with DeMarcus Cousins. They don't really play slower or very much a different style than when he's out there. So it was nice to see them, even though they weren't able to fully control the pace of the game, meaning, you know, both teams were running up and down the court with lots of possessions, they were able to play their style. And give credit to Alvin Gentry for that, to get them coming out in the second half to play that way, to settle them down after a rough start in the first quarter, and getting them scoring in transition, easy points. And they especially did it, you know, in that run, the 21-0 run in the third quarter. But we all know the story of the night is going to be DeMarcus Cousins. In, you know, 36 minutes, 48 seconds, he put up a monster stat line. 41 points, 17 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Oh, and just shot 5 of 9 from 3-point, from deep. That ties his career high made from there. He's the only player other than Kevin Love since 1983 to put up 41, 17, you know, over 40 points, over 15 rebounds, and 5 made threes. An absolutely just insane night. You know, it wasn't really all the threes. He was 14 of 27 on the night, went to the free throw line 9 times, made 8 of them. And more so, again, he had 9 other makes, that weren't from deep. Of, I think it was 5 and ones on those 9 makes. It was just a masterful performance, and this was a lot to do with him taking it from the 3-point line. And I know people want him really just to park his butt and self underneath the basket and be this interior dominant Shaq-like player, but that's just not how he plays. And, you know, as much as I would like to see that a little more often too and get tired of him hanging out by the 3-point line, it's tough to say it's not effective. Again, the 5 made threes, and a lot of those and ones, especially when he was just brutalizing Pau Gasol, Marc Gasol the entire night, was on him driving from the 3-point line, putting the ball on the ground and attacking. And oftentimes when he does that, yeah, he turns the ball over, but he was in very good control last night. He had this killer crossover at one point, which led to him driving and getting an and one, just absolutely dirty. If you haven't seen it, go take a look. It occurred, I think, in the third or fourth quarter. I forget exactly when. But he clearly carried this team. Anthony Davis chipped in with a really weird stat line for him. 18 shot attempts, only 19 points scored, 13 rebounds. He was really content to let this be the DeMarcus Cousins show last night, which is actually really nice to see. These two guys aren't necessarily going to be able to go out and score 35 each or 28 each. Every single night. But if one of them's going off, it means the other one's still being effective, hopefully, and it means that they're keeping this other guy open, that, you know, Anthony Davis is still out there on the court demanding a defender, at least one, if not two, depending on where he is on the court, which is going to free up Cousins, and, you know, that works vice versa. So you're not always looking for both of these guys to score incredibly well on a night, as long as they're making their presence felt on the court, which Anthony Davis absolutely did. And as the guy who's the man on this team, it's nice to see him be okay with it and cool with it if he's just not getting the ball as many times as he would like. DeMarcus Cousins had 76 touches on the night. Anthony Davis only had 53, 23 more for Cousins. You know, that, if you're the star player, might upset you. Davis is cool with it. This team's winning. He's happy. They know they're in playoff contention all of a sudden. Still, not a likely chance of making the playoffs, but, you know, all of a sudden you're playing some meaningful basketball down the stretch as you're playing some of your best basketball of the season. So it's nice to see the leader of this team, the alpha dog, whatever you want to say, you know, the man, be okay with taking a backseat and letting the offense flow through someone else. And you've seen Cousins do the same thing. He gets benched. He's not out there complaining, screaming. Might not be happy about it, but he toes the company line. But ultimately, these guys want to win, and that's what the Pelicans are doing. And if on one night one guy's playing better than the other, he's going to absolutely let that be the case. Outside of DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis, who performed well, and you want to go to one name who didn't have the best night but was still fairly instrumental, actually, in this victory, and that's going to be Jrue Holiday. Rough shooting night for him, 5 of 17. He took 17 shots while Davis took 18. Think about that one for a minute. 5 of 17, 29.4%, 1 of 6 from 3. But here's the thing. you know, he was in the backcourt again with Tim Frazier, and it's something that really goes to show you that that backcourt pairing and pairing Holiday with another ball handler, Frazier's a point guard, but if you were to pair Holiday with another combo guard, that would be okay too. Just frees Holiday up to kind of work off ball a little bit more and catch and drive versus trying to facilitate the offense. When you do this and he gets paired with another combo guard, particularly Frazier in this case, which is what we've seen, his turnovers drop dramatically than when he's trying to do too much and be a pure point, which he really truly isn't. And on the night, Holiday only had one turnover. In fact, the team just had 12 on the night. But again, Holiday, in a lot of those bad losses, was racking up between 5 and 7. Here, he is more settled. The shooting's not there yet, and I don't know really what's happened to it. It's not like he was taking, you know, 17 bad looks. Sometimes at the rim, he was a little bit unlucky, but what have you. So it's interesting to see that he's playing well all around. The shooting just isn't there. So if the shooting starts to come back around, you know, he's going to fit in really well, and he's going to be a very deadly player for this team, and there's still a reason why the Pelicans view him, you know, as the third guy on their big three. You know, we've talked about how if the Pelicans can get six guys in double figures, their chances of winning are going to be significantly higher, and that obviously wasn't the case last night with only Holiday, Cousins, and Davis in double figures, and Holiday only had 11 points. But when you have Memphis, sorry, I lied, there's four. It was Jordan Crawford. That's exactly who I wanted to talk about next, too. Instant Grits, as he's come to be known now, again, in double figures, 2 of 4 from deep. Dude just is instant offense off the bench. He only played 16 minutes, scored 10 points. That's what you want to see out of this guy. You know, it's almost a certainty, I think, at this point that you'd bring him back next year. He's on that unguaranteed deal next year, but he's coming back. If you really want to know why, look late in the third quarter, about 2 minutes left. The Pelicans actually run a play, and this was pointed out to me. I caught it on replay by my friend Alex Ferrari, who said, and it's a gorgeously designed play for Jordan Crawford, where you have Holiday up top and you have Davis and Cousins at the elbows in a bit of a horn set trying to run. It's a fake pick and roll, and all of a sudden you see Hill, who's been in the left side corner, while you have Crawford up at the top above the break three area. Hill all of a sudden just runs into the middle and sets a pick. Holiday passes the ball, and all of a sudden Crawford's defender, who helped Anthony Davis on the pick and roll and tried to help defend him, can't close out on Crawford because Hill is setting a pick, leading to a wide open three for Crawford, which he hit. When all of a sudden you're running plays, specific plays for Jordan Crawford, you have to imagine he's going to be back next year, and it's worth it. He's been working. That is a just heck of a find by Dell Demps, because the Pels need some offense off the bench, and they've got just enough of it going right now that all of a sudden you give them a little bit of competent guard play and some shooting, and this team has opened up and looks entirely different from the one that was on the court right after this DeMarcus Cousins trade. But let's circle back to Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. And again, as I talked about on the podcast yesterday, what matters is getting them working while they're both on the court at the same time. And last night in the game, they played 34 minutes together. That's a good number. You could even, 30 would be an acceptable amount, maybe even less than that. But 34 minutes together last night, a 114.2 offensive rating, a defensive rating of only 77.8, leads to a net rating of 36.4. So basically off the charts. And all of a sudden you're looking at this team with these two guys with a 90.6 defensive rebounding percentage, a 27.6 offensive rebounding percentage. Both those numbers are higher than the overall game numbers for the Pelicans. No surprise there. They had a true shooting percentage, so factoring in free throws, of 58.8. The team's was 49.3. And then an e-field goal percentage of 53.3, 44.9 was the team's number. And they did this with a higher pace than what the Pelicans played overall in the game last night. This offense can work with both of them. Again, did you see another lob for an Anthony Davis dunk from DeMarcus Cousins? Of course you did. It was awesome. you know, they just needed to gel. They needed to get some other shooting and just better play overall around them. Those numbers, you know, that lineup is going to be reflective of that. So once they started getting some better play, people started stepping up, the turnover started going down, this team has, well, taken flight a little bit, and all of a sudden is now in contention for a playoff spot 3.5 games back. Again, slim odds. It's under a 1% chance that they can do this. But, you know, if you can go on this road trip at Houston on Friday, Sunday in Denver, that's the big one, before finishing up the road trip with the Jazz. If you can go, at one, just beat Denver for sure. If you can go 2-1 on that road trip, you're looking pretty good all of a sudden. It's going to be kind of surprising. One of those ones does have to be over Denver, though. So we'll see. You know, I don't want to get people's hopes up yet. They still have a better chance at a top three pick than making the playoffs, according to ESPN.com. So it goes to show you exactly where they are right now. But no matter what, even if they don't make the playoffs or don't get a top three pick, and the first round pick in 2017 goes to Sacramento, there is significant progress being made. I talked about the on-court, off-court numbers for Cousins yesterday, and I said, don't worry too much, because one, it's working, this team's winning right now, and it's going to start coming together, and you can really see it. When guys hit their shots, this offense looks entirely different. It's going to be the case for anyone in the league. And then look at the numbers tonight. You know, like I said, a 36.4 net rating. They're grabbing more offensive rebounds, cleaning up on the defensive glass. This is exactly what you want to see. You know, this is why I said it's a bit surprising that people were just saying Gentry couldn't coach this team to play how they want. Again, 19 fast break points tonight against a team that limits you in transition, doesn't want to play this style, and they imposed their will. It was wonderful to see a very, very good, solid win for the Pelicans tonight. So, you know, we'll see if they can keep it up and do it on Friday. And I'm going to have a few guests on throughout the rest of the week for you guys to really talk about a lot of this and really dive in on, you know, what they're doing specifically well right now. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the win, Pelicans fans. Please don't forget to follow the podcast on iTunes, on Audio Boom. Subscribe there. Follow it on Facebook, on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. And don't forget, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. And I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.
Napa Know-How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag. But most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How. Napa Know-How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.